Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
1,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. That's Gus at Mitsubishi, 1870 Covington Pike, or shop online at MemphisMitsubishi.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gus at Motor Cars.
20 ribeyes for $30 in two locations in Memphis right now for a limited time. Hurry now. 20 ribeyes for $30. EBT, credit cards, debit cards, all payments accepted. Last chance to compare five-star steaks to Omaha Steak Box steak deals and save on the ribeyes. 20 ribeyes for $30. Look for the big tent at the Wolf Chase Mall in front of Macy's at the Highway 64 entrance. And also look for the big truck at the Oak Court Mall Poplar Street entrance. Also on the big truck, crazy deals on premium steak, pork, seafood, food and gourmet chicken breast. Everything must go. It's a truckload meat mania sale. Look for the big tent at the Wolf Chase Mall in front of Macy's at the Highway 64 entrance. And also look for the big truck at the Oak Court Mall Poplar Street entrance. Crazy deals on Kansas City strips, fillets, bacon wrap fillets, mega ribeyes, and get 20 ribeyes for $30 right now at Wolf Chase Mall in Oak Court Mall. Don't wait before the truck is gone.
Welcome. Commanding offer on the Toyota you want. Get it now at Wolf Chase Toyota during our President's Day sale. We've got over 300 new Toyotas all on sale all month long for this special event. Corollas, RAV4s, Highlanders, Tacomas, 4Runners, and more. Wolf Chase Toyota has the model, color, and trim you want during our President's Day sale at the number one volume sales leader in Memphis, Germantown Parkway in Cordova. WolfChaseToyota.com. Based on Toyota reporting from 2020 sales.
Miami Heat star Duncan Robinson knows a thing or two about being overlooked. From beginning his college career at a D3 liberal arts school to starting in last year's NBA Finals. Now, on his new podcast, The Long Shot, Robinson celebrates the most unlikely and unexpected success stories in sports and beyond. Join Duncan and his co-host Davis Reed on The Long Shot podcast as they sit down with those who have proven naysayers wrong and overcame the odds. The Long Shot with Duncan Robinson and Davis Reed is available now for free on Radio.com, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your shows.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin. With all guests appearing on the BetQL phone line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis' sports station.
There's no escape. It is moving season. Oh, take a look outside. It's starting to melt, baby. Getting back to normal in more ways than one. If you're moving, make sure you call my friends at Blacktop Moving for all your moving needs. If you're thinking about relocating, whether it's home or office, cross town, cross country, make sure you call the pros at Blacktop Moving. 316-6196, 316-6196. They have changed moving in the city of Memphis, because when you're moving, you ain't just moving things. You're moving pieces of your life. Black Tie understands that. They're licensed. They're bonded. They're insured. Their movers are professionally trained. They're on time. I know because I used them not once but twice. And I used them twice the second time because I knew how good they were from the first time. Book your move now. It's going to start booking up fast. Spring and summer, believe it or not, are right around the corner. Moving season is here. Black Tie wants to take the chore out of moving your things out of your hands and make it that much easier for you. Black Tie Moving, changing moving in the city of Memphis. Brad, was that Toxic by Britney Spears?
Yeah, that was Toxic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, okay, so that was the later Britney when it was like I was way too old to be like non-ironically listening to Britney Spears, right?
Yeah, right.
But I did want to ask this, Jason, because I'd like to get you on the record as this has been the Britney Spears memoriam show. What was your favorite Britney jam?
Oh, my gosh. Mm.
Get you on the record, big dog.
I'll go this one. I'll go Toxic.
Good
call.
Really?
Yeah.
Is this not the one with the video where she's got the snake around her and all that stuff?
I think that's a different one. This is the flight attendant one, I believe. Yeah.
Well, give me, where's the one with the snake around? Is it? It's not Poison, is it?
Different.
I thought there's a video. She's got a snake
video. Let me look it up here. I'll look it up on.
Put me down for that one, Brett.
All right. I'm a slave for you.
That's your favorite Britney Spears song. I'm a slave for you, bro.
Yeah, he likes. I'm a slave for you.
That's it. Let's hear that one.
I got the live version here from the MTV.
That's your favorite.
That's a great. That is a good song.
You dang right it is.
Yep. Good call, Jason.
Look, the answer is
JT helped her with that one. Mm.
The answer, by the way, is Baby One More Time, okay?
No, that's bubblegum junk.
That's just
and
the
certainly
answer.
Not for me, John.
Oh.
I'm going to get something that's got a little soul in it.
I'm not.
Jason, were you playing I'm a Slave for You in the Boom Boom Room with the Peabody?
Look out.
You asked me what my favorite one was out of a selection of songs I really don't like. I think I picked the best one. I certainly picked the one with the most rhythm in it.
Interesting, bro.
Wow.
I love how your recollection is the one with the snake. That is funny.
Every day around this time,
we do the rundown. Let's go.
Now, it's the rundown presented by ExploreSt.Louis.com. The biggest stories of the day from Jason and John on 92.9 FM ESPN. First story.
All right, Jason. I think you have heartily upset me with your choice of favorite Britney Spears song. You have heartily upset me. So we're about to argue, okay? You've done it. You've pushed me over the line. We're about to argue. Why on earth would Wichita State remove the interim tag from Isaac Bruce?
Are you serious right now?
Why would they do that?
John, look at the job he's doing. I'm not going to go into this. Before we do, let me let you know where you are. You are on an island by yourself because entire country, including friend of the show Damon Stoudemire, including just about everybody who covers college basketball, is saying give Isaac Brown the job. Take a guess, John, on where they were picked in the preseason poll, Wichita State. And this, John, was when they still had Greg Marshall. It was October 28th.
I'm going to guess, I don't know, 8th.
They were 7th. Okay? 7th.
Wow.
7th place at that point.
Man.
That was before Greg Marshall walks out of there in November, steps down, resigns. I think they named Isaac Brown on November 17th, the interim head coach. Okay? So you're right up on the season. Now you're number 1 in the AAC. You're literally in first place. Why would you not give a guy who's clearly taking a team of players that no one expected anything from, certainly not a top 4 finish, and he's number 1 right now in the conference, why would you not give him the job? They need to do Isaac Brown like you see the walk-on player who's earned the scholarship. You see those scenes from college to Clemson, the walk-on guy who's finally earned the scholarship.
Mm-hmm.
They give it to him in front of the whole team, and the team goes crazy. Isaac Brown should have the president or the AD should walk in there and remove that interim tag and let them go crazy because he has absolutely earned it, and it was capped off with that win over Houston last night.
Jason, I love you, and I agree with so much of what you're saying.
Because it was facts, yes.
To be honest, it's one of the most underappreciated
in college basketball.
It really is. I mean, and the first black coach in Wichita State history. They're playing hard for him. A lot of circumstances went against him. And now, like you said, they're first in the AAC. Absolutely agree. He deserves all the credit. He's the AAC coach of the year, right? He just is.
Yeah.
But how can you say that he is the man for the job moving forward? Because it's one thing to have a current group of players that you might or might not have recruited who are playing hard. We see that all the time in the NFL, right? Like
the Falcons, they were playing hard for Raheem Morris, right? Now, they weren't winning to the degree that Wichita State is, but this tends to happen. I worry. We don't know how he recruits. We don't know. I mean, you know, he was a relatively anonymous guy to begin with before he got this interim job. And that's a good job, Jason. Like, I was talking to somebody last night, and I'm just bringing this up because that's what's out there. They think they're going to be able to get Mark Turgeon from Maryland, which, I mean, he's a proven winner. You know, he's a proven winner there at Maryland. I mean, would you not at least want to see the kind of candidate that you can attract? You can always go back to Isaac Brown if you don't like the candidates that you attract, and you can make him the head coach. I'm just saying, why do it right now?
I think you're rewarding someone who's doing it the right way. John, he wasn't just some newbie that you brought in. He's been a part of recruiting those kids. Okay, so he's been in those kids' lives already, obviously, the ones that they do have. And nobody knows, in terms of the type of kid that Greg Marshall was getting, nobody knows that type better than Isaac Brown because he's been with him. He's been in Division I for 19 years. And sure, the idea that you can go out and get a Mark Turgeon, sure, that's pretty attractive. But let's not act like Wichita State is coming off of a Sweet 16. Like, you agree with me that they've been underachievers, much like Memphis, in the AAC based on the expectations we placed on both. And from that standpoint, again, you go from seventh to first. Look, we could go, if you want to, we can go pay $3, $4 million trying to get back to where Greg Marshall had us years ago, John, 7, 8 years ago, hoping that Mark Turgeon can get us there. Or we can reward a guy who's already been a part of the program, right, a program that's hurting, that's literally had players hurting. We're trying to pull it back together with one of our own, again, a guy that you probably get a pretty good deal on. So then you're not paying $3, $4 million and then possibly failing, right? You're here for it. Hey, if this misses, then you go out and get the big dog rather than you can go back to Brown. How about rewarding a guy who's clearly getting it done? John, I think it's more – frankly, I think it's a lot more than just a team that's playing well because their interim coach got the job. I mean, again, that's one thing. And then, again, going out and beating a team who, yes, despite the fact they lost to East Carolina, still top 15 in both offense and defense, going out and beating them last night, you know, I think that's an accomplishment. I would say he's earned it at this point with what they've been through, and it is unnecessary right now to go pay $3, $4 million to try to get you back to greatness when right now you got the right guy staring you in the face. He's earned it at this point. That's what I would tell you.
I would rather have Mark Turgeon. I would rather have, you know, because the difference in, you know, you brought up the comparison to, you know, rewarding a walk-on that's been there for 3 or 4 years with a scholarship, right? Well, that's a one-year choice. You know, that's a very fleeting choice, and that makes a lot of sense. But this is a program that needs to get it right, that because they have not been in the NCAA tournament since moving to the AAC. And I just think it's a gamble. You know, they're playing well right now, but how is he going to recruit? Is he going to be able to keep it at that level when these guys move on? You know, Etienne has been so big for them. What happens when he moves on? You know, I worry a little bit, Jason, that it ends up like J.B. Bickerstaff with the Grizzlies. J.B. Bickerstaff stepped in. He was the interim. He earned the job, right? That's why the Grizzlies gave it to him, because he did basically the same thing that Isaac Brown is doing just at the NBA level. A thankless situation that he walked into, and they won more games than most people expected them to do, and he got the full-time job. And then what happened? He's fired a year later. You know, I just worry a little bit that that's going to be the way this goes with Isaac Brown.
Well, I mean, again, I don't think you're giving him much credit whatsoever when you're saying it's a situation like J.B. Bickerstaff, who had no input whatsoever on the personnel beforehand. J.B. was sort of thrown into that situation. This is a guy in Brown who's already been there. Like I said, it's not just Greg Marshall that's on the road. Nobody knows that better than you. Brown's been a part of recruiting the kind of kids that they have, and they have clearly responded to his coaching. And I don't see how it's a big gamble, again, when you're giving it to the interim guy that you're not paying $3, $4 million to. It's more of a gamble if you go up and get Mark Turgeon and he doesn't succeed. And I would tell you what, this.
But he already has succeeded at Wichita State, though. That's the point, you know. Like, he's already been there, and he's already made a Sweet 16.
Sounds to me like a retread, John, the thing that you love to hate, right? He's not succeeding at Maryland, so let's go bring him back. Why do that when you've already got a guy that's winning right now that the players clearly have responded to? Doesn't make any sense. Why go out and give an old retread another opportunity when you clearly got a guy who's handling just fine right now?
I mean,
not just handling just fine.
he's overachieving.
John Retread is a guy that gets fired.
How's it a gamble when you're going to literally pay him, what, less than $2 million? You know, give me a break. How is that a gamble at all? Well, and if it doesn't go ahead.
I'm saying you're trying to count Wichita State's money over there, man. They ain't trying to save no money. They got to get it right.
Why do they have to get it right? That's what I'm saying. They're in an AAC where they hadn't gotten it right. They weren't getting it right with Greg Marshall. So why pay that high dollar, right, to maybe be fourth or fifth in the conference where they've been the last, third, fourth, sixth, I think it was, why do that, pay all that money, when, frankly, this guy's got you number one right now. John, let's see if we can get a deal on it. Maybe he can keep us top four at a rebate. How is that a gamble? It's not a gamble whatsoever.
We're not as far apart as it sounds. The place where you and I just do this, I'm not saying that Isaac Brown shouldn't be a candidate. I think he should be a candidate. I think he's earned the right to be a candidate for the full-time position. But I still think they should search. They should do a search. They should interview people. They should see what kind of candidates, because you might be surprised. You might be shocked at the level of candidate that this, this opening attracts. You don't know. I think you owe it to your fans to do a search. Now, that search may tell you, and that search may show you that Isaac Brown is the man for the job. It very well could. It might. It's happened before. It'll happen again. I'm just saying you owe it to yourself to at least see what's
out there.
Do
a search and go get a retread. Go get your old coach, basically.
Well,
and go pay him $3 to $4 million.
A retrade would
That sounds like the gamble to me, John. I mean, that doesn't
John
get me
Calipari
very excited.
Would John Calipari be a retrade for Memphis?
Wichita State fan base excited again, I guess. I think they're probably pretty happy with Mark Turgeon firing that fan base up, Jason? What's that?
You don't think Mark Turgeon would fire that fan base up?
I think they're fired up being number one right now, John. I think they like the story, one of the best stories in college basketball right now. And I think the Koch brothers, if you told them, hey, you can either write a check for $3.5 million, right, and we can finish first, or you can write first, second, or third, or you can write a check for $1.5 million, $1.6 million, and we can try to finish first, second, or third like we are right now. I think they'd take the deal because they're not businessmen, not successful businessmen because they're stupid. They would take the deal that's the less money. Again, in a situation where clearly it's working, I don't think this one's hard here. This one's pretty simple. The entire country is telling you to do it. It's clearly going to be like this in a situation where, it's the NBA where coaches are hired to be fired, and your best man one day is going to be your replacement the next day. This is a college situation. This dude's been involved in their recruitment. They're number one in the AAC. Let me repeat that. When picked seventh, that was with Greg Marshall. This right now has already been a win. So why go out and pay more for something that you don't? Is it going to work again? Maybe so. But in that case, I'm paying $3-4 million. Doesn't make any sense. You can go do that, John, after you've seen if Isaac Brown, who's already earned the job, is going to be a success over a couple of years or not. It's that simple.
I think he needs to be in the conversation. You clearly think he is the guy, and we may both end up being right. They may ultimately hire Isaac Brown, but they may do a search first. We shall see. And don't you think a lot of it depends on how they finish the season? I mean, they if they make a tournament, right, versus if they kind of sputter to the finish here. Don't you think that kind of matters how they finish from here?
I mean, I think the win over Houston is the capper, John. If that's not enough to get them in, you can look at their situation. If they don't get the 2 week in SMU, are they going to have enough to get in? I think he's earned it already. And what I would tell you is, this isn't a lot different than the situation with Ryan Silverfield. And yet you and I both knew that despite Memphis's previous success of going outside, maybe seeing what they could draw in this case, John, because the job had been elevated, we said that the right man in that case was the guy who had already been involved in Ryan Silverfield. I really don't see how this one's much different, quite frankly. In the same sense, Memphis could have gone out, it's a better job, let's go see what we can get. But they decided, we think we might have it right here. And in fact, we feel so good about it, we're going to give it a shot. It feels like the exact same thing to me.
I mean, they still did talk to other people, though. They didn't just say, "Okay, you're the guy." I mean, it took some time.
Exactly, and you do that, right? So you tell your fan base you did all, and then you give it to the guy, right? You give it to the guy who's earned it at this point. Again, number one in the AAC, just beat Houston, like he has earned it, and it's the same thing. He's been a part of your program, already understands it, and he's not a retread. He's a guy who's been working in Division I for 19 years, and has earned this opportunity, and in the interim has hit it out of the park. He absolutely deserves the job.
Well, how about this? We will ask Rob Doster in the next segment. He can arbitrate this once and for all.
Okay.
And we'll ask Rob Doster about this in the next segment. But anyway, that is the latest from Wichita. They get a big win over Houston last night, inches them closer to a a thing for Memphis, Jason, is that win over Wichita State, that looks a hell of a lot better, right? I mean, you beat them by 20.
That's a home win, so it doesn't change what it is, which is still a quad two, if I'm not mistaken. Like, it doesn't go up to a quad one, but absolutely it makes that win look better for you. And I would say just gives you more reason to want to play them there. Because, again, on the road there, that would be a quad one opportunity. I just don't know if you can get it set up with the amount of time that you've got left.
Yep. So anyway, that's the story.
All right, Grizzlies back in action tonight. We've touched on this a little bit, playing the Detroit Pistons. Last I looked, you guys can correct me if I'm wrong, they were a 5-point favorite against the 8-20 Detroit Pistons, who are more scrappy. If you follow Amari Sankofa, who covers that team, more scrappy than the record would indicate, certainly that. But again, good teams, sort of like we saw. And listen, the Grizz, as shorthanded as they are, and at 12-12, they have been that this season. Typically, good teams are able to put teams like Detroit, OKC, away down the stretch. You leave those teams scrapping for four quarters, they'll give it to you if you want to. Hopefully, that's not the case for a Grizz team tonight, playing the first of two in two nights. You've got Phoenix tomorrow night. You can hear it all tonight on 92.9 FM ESPN, starting at 7 with Eric Hasseltine. Pregame will be at 6:30 with Jessica Benson. Here's what I'm interested in with the Grizzlies. If you noticed, and I'm sure you did, the headlines were everywhere, the All-Star starters were announced yesterday. Most of them were pretty much what you would figure in the over in the West. You had LeBron James, Jokic, Leonard, Anthony Davis, Paul George. And here's the question. With the spots you've got left, did I leave out anybody? I'm gonna make sure I'm not going over this.
No, I don't think so.
Okay. With the spots you've got left, the wonder is Ja Morant going to have a chance to make it? I'll ask you this. I'll say this, and I go to a piece written by Kevin Pelton. He talks about the questions in terms of filling out the rest of the West's All-Star roster. The first one he brings up is Mike Conley having a pretty good case to make it, but he also brings up the Suns' Devin Booker, the Suns' Chris Paul. He brings up as well as De'Aaron Fox. I just wonder, are there too many guards ahead of Ja this year? And has he played too few games? Is that why he's not in this conversation for there to be any real hope there? Should we go ahead and pack up that hope this year and set that to the side, playing for next year?
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
I mean, it's just realistically, because you got Dame Lillard out there, you got Donovan Mitchell out there. It's just he's not going to be able to do it this year.
No.
Sounds right to me. I'm fine with that. I feel like there has been a little bit of an early move to crown Luka early. Maybe when Dame should be in. And I feel like that's a little bit different than Ja, where it's kind of, okay, you're going to wait your turn and all that. I'm still okay with it. I realize that's how the NBA goes. Doncic has probably earned that a year ahead of Ja. But that said, I think we all knew that it was probably coming to this. And so since we do, we can all just be happy for Mike Conley if he makes it, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. You know, I will, I think it's at this point.
Since Ja is not taking anything away from him, since we all agree that Ja can wait a little bit, hadn't played necessarily all the games, then I think that at that point we all should be rooting for Mike Conley.
Because
hopefully he does.
Ja is going to be an 8-time All-Star, you know? I mean, that's all but cemented at this point. If he stays with the Grizzlies, you know, for 10 to 12 years, which why wouldn't he? He's going to be an 8-time All-Star. He's going to have his turn, Jason. I get the sense it means something to Mike. To make that game, even though it's not going to be the same, right? It's not going to be the same as a normal year. Kind of like Isaac Bruce, right? Isaac Bruce had to wait so long to get in the damn Hall of Fame, and unfortunately, he didn't even get that big time ceremony, you know. But you're still in. You're still in, and they can never take that away from you. So, yes, I hope for Mike's sake that he gets that opportunity to get in there and to celebrate that achievement.
he's earned it at this point. I'd like to see it. I think most of us Memphians would like to see it at this point. We can go back and forth on whether there should be an All-Star game at all, but we don't need to. There's going to be one. You will have LeBron James there in body, at least that's what he says. You won't have
not
his mind.
Mentally.
Remember, John, you'll have his body there performing. Hopefully it'll be decent night. Sounds like we got the dunk contest at halftime. That'll be weird. No fans, but we'll see. Hopefully Mike Conley is involved.
Yeah, he will. His mind will be, I don't know, probably somewhere
resting.
Watching Buried by the Bernards.
Might
right.
be, you know.
Yeah.
Or the Brittany Dock.
Or the Brittany right. Dock, right. Depends on
it
where his mind's
on,
at.
Yeah, I don't think LeBron is like a guy who likes to laugh that much.
So no, he does those videos when he was with the Heat in the locker room with the funny faces.
Yeah.
He's a fun guy.
He's kind of the laughter in your life.
Yeah.
The Taco Tuesday stuff, whether it's with the family or the – I think he is kind of the guy that likes.
Well, I think he's moody. He's moody.
Oh, there's no question about that.
Sure.
And the deal with LeBron is if that's his mood, the rest of the room better be feeling that way, right? That's the thing with LeBron is if he's down, if he's feeling, you better be feeling his pain. You understand what I'm saying? Like it's
right.
his way or the highway. That's the thing with the king.
That's exactly right. So. Anyway, there you have it. Grizzlies taking on the Pistons. You can catch that right here on 92.9 FM, ESPN. When we come back, Rob Doster is going to join us, and he's going to tell Jason why he's wrong on Isaac Brown. It's just going to be the way it goes, man. It's just going to be the way it goes, Jason. No, I'm kidding, but we will ask him. We will ask him about what he thinks Wichita State should do with Isaac Brown, what that means for Memphis. All that and more on the other side. Jason and John, 92.9 FM, ESPN.
The Gary Parrish Show.
And the other good thing, long as we're focusing on positives for a moment, is that 2021 lottery looks strong. I'm not advocating for tanking
right.
or anything like that in January, but in the likely scenario that the Grizzlies do miss the playoffs, it's not the worst thing in the world. Like, they would then have possibly a shot at Kate Cunningham or Evan Mobley or Jalen Green or Jalen Suggs. That's four A-level prospects.
Weekdays 4 p.m. till 6 p.m. 92.9 FM ESPN.
Grassroots basketball is back in Memphis. Hoop City Basketball Club is holding first through eighth grade tryouts February 27th for the upcoming spring season. Hoop City BC has produced several high major Division I and NBA players. For any and all information, email hoopcitybc@gmail.com. The date again is February 27th for first through eighth grade tryouts. For all info, including locations, visit hoopcitybc.com. At checkout, enter promo code ESPN for $100 off your registration fee. From the playground to the hardwood, it's in our blood, it's who we are in Hoop City.
All 75 months at 3.04% Mirage MH002682 MSRP 16865 G4 MHF01572 MSRP 18360 Outlander Sport MU004915 MSRP 24740 includes all rebates and incentives. PF 695 excludes tax title and license with approved credit. See dealer for complete details. Offer valid through end of the month. Dealer stock only.
Ready, set, start your new year with a new ride from Gossett Mitsubishi on Covington Pike. Get the hatchback hero in 2021 Mirage, 12,342 or 129 a month. 2021 Mitsubishi Mirage G4, 41 mpg highway, 13,997 or 149 a month. And jumpstart your journey in 2021 Outlander Sport, 17,938 or 199 a month. And these are not leases. You own your new ride. Plus, you get Mitsubishi's 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain limited warranty. That's Gus at Mitsubishi, 1870 Covington Pike, or shop online at memphismitsubishi.com.
If you want it, we got it at Gossett Motor Cars.
This season's hottest collection is dropping just in time for lunch. Meet Church's new all-white meat Texas tenders, accessorized with butterfly shrimp. Snag your Texas tenders and shrimp meal for just $5. Church's bringing that down-home flavor. Offer valid at participating locations.
Finding great candidates to hire can be like, well, trying to find a needle in a haystack. But not with ZipRecruiter. Its powerful technology actively finds and invites qualified candidates to apply to your job. So while other companies might deliver a lot of hay, ZipRecruiter finds you the needle in the haystack.
See why 4 out of 5 employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate within the first day. Try ZipRecruiter for free at ZipRecruiter.com/hire. That's ZipRecruiter.com/hire.
Right now is a great time to take advantage of Choate's winter specials by upgrading your furnace, switching to a Rinnai tankless water heater, or getting $50 off air duct cleaning. By now, you most likely have heard of the benefits of UV light technology for your HVAC system. Purchase any new Carrier furnace right now, and we will install one for you at no additional cost. For those who have not installed a tankless water heater yet, what are you waiting on? Stop wasting utilities heating water you do not use and getting frustrated taking cold showers or baths. Right now, when you purchase a Rinnai tankless water heater, Choate's will install one premium toilet for free in your home. And Choate's is offering $50 off its air duct cleaning services. Not only does this service get the years of dust out of your ducts, it also helps the indoor air quality you and your family breathe every day. All these specials qualify for 18 months, no interest financing with approved credit. So call 347-8086 to schedule your free estimate today. Turn to the experts with Choate's and let our family serve your family.
Now, back to the Jason and John Show. Jason Smith and John Martin, with all guests appearing on the BetQL phone line. Bet smarter and beat the books. Download the BetQL app today or visit BetQL.com. Jason Smith and John Martin on 92.9 FM ESPN, Memphis's sports station.
He is Rob Doster. He's the founder of the Field of 68. He's on Twitter at Rob Doster. Let's make him the giant interview.
Now, it's the giant interview presented by A-Team Roofing. Online at ateamroofers.com. The A-Team Roofing Giant Interview on 92.9's Jason and John Show.
Rob, what's going on, brother?
Oh, what's going on, guys? Are you surviving down there? How are we doing? You guys all right?
Barely.
Barely, man. Barely.
I mean, not this is like a Wednesday for you, you know, in your neck of the woods. But for us, we're having to boil our water in Memphis.
Jeez. That's not good.
Yeah, nope. So we're making it, man. We're making it. We're kind of dragging along, but hopefully better days are ahead. Listen, a lot to get to. We had some news with the NCAA tournament. But want to start in the American. Because when you're on this show, Rob, I mean, you are basically an analyst for the American Athletic Conference. And last night there was a significant win for Wichita State against Houston there in Wichita. I will start with what it means for their tournament hopes before we get into Isaac Brown. Does it change anything fundamentally about Wichita State's tournament resume? Where do you think they are after last night?
I think it changes everything about their NCAA tournament resume. You know, the issue that they had was that there were no good wins. Like, they didn't have any great wins. They didn't have anything they kind of hang their resume on and say, look, I know that the rest of it kind of looks good and we're telling people that we're a good team, but look at this. We got this. Well, now they got it. They got a win over a top 10 team in the net. They got a win over a top 10 team in the country. It's their first win over a top 50 opponent. It is their second win over a top 100 opponent. They are now 2-2 in quad one games and 4-4 in quad one and quad two games. Like, that's a resume where if you keep winning, you're going to be in the mix for an NCAA tournament bid. The net is not great. I think they are, what, 68th, somewhere around there now. But, I mean, that's the win that they needed to be able to put themselves into the conversation and into the mix to be able to say, hey, you know what? We have a profile that is strong enough to get us in. And that is exactly the kind of win that Memphis is going to be looking for if we can ever find a way to get some of these games in down south.
So, Rob, if they let's assume worst-case scenario for SMU, which is currently in a pause, and Wichita State's next two games are against them. Just so we can set that to the side. If they can't play SMU in those next two games, and again, those are next week, so you hope SMU is through it, with what they've got already, let's just say you finish with Tulane Temple, and what do they need to get to semifinals? If it's just that, like, do they need those SMU games, right, to further assure themselves of it, of having a chance, or with that Houston, with what's left, say you don't get SMU, who's in a pause, is it enough if you win a couple of games in the conference tournament?
Man, it'll be tough. I don't know if it'll be enough just because, like, they don't have the computer numbers, right? Like, they're right around that
metrically, right?
Yeah, in KenPom and in the net. And those are the numbers that, like, kind of they put you in the mix, but most seasons that they'll have you on the wrong side of the bubble. Now,
right.
The thing that's weird about this year is that, and I think we've talked about this before, is that the bubble looks so much different because we didn't have a full non-conference slate, and there have been so many games that are postponed, right? Like at this point of the season, normally teams have played 25, 26 games, and we're talking about Wichita State, who's played 17 games. So one big win influences things so much more now than it would have in recent years, right? Like it's kind of like we are basically in early January. You know how in normal seasons when you're in early January and you're looking at the bubble, like all it takes is one win or maybe like one good week, and you can go from being out of the tournament picture to like being an eight seed. And you know, I think Wichita State could be that team that makes that kind of a run if, you know, they end up getting these games against SMU. And yes, I think that they probably need them to really feel comfortable.
Yeah.
Because the way that it stands right now, like I said, their metrics just aren't quite good enough to have you there. And as good as this one over Houston is, you know, when you only have two good wins, that's not necessarily something that is going to be great for your resume. You know, it's like compare them to Drake right now, right? Drake also has one great win in that they beat Loyola at home. They had a better record. They have a worse loss, but they have a better overall record and they have better computer numbers. And that's the kind of team that you're going to be going up against. And since we put so much value in the net, so much value in KenPom, like, that's a conversation that you're going to have. And that's why you need to go out and play games like SMU. That's why it's important to have a conference schedule where you get a lot of good games so you can say that you proved yourself in those games and in those matchups. So,
Absolutely.
Yeah, to answer your question, that's a long-winded way of saying, yeah, they got to get those games in.
And then before you came on, Jason and I were having an absolute knockdown, drag-out argument about Isaac Brown. Jason says, and he tweeted this last night, they should go ahead and remove the interim tag on Isaac Brown and make him the permanent head coach. I said, my contention is he can and should be a candidate, but you should do a search because it's a great job and you might be surprised at who you can attract. What's the right answer, Rob?
I think that you give it to him. I think that he's proven himself. I think if he's able to get this team to the NCAA tournament, it's something that you want to reward. I think that he's proven that the players buy into him. I think that stepping into the situation that he stepped into with a program that was dealing with the fallout of losing a coach like Greg Marshall, that had fans that were pushing back on the idea of getting rid of the best coach in their program history, is something that it's not easy. Like, it's not easy to step into that situation and win. And I think if you look at, like, someone like a Greg Gard, right? Like, he's had success at Wisconsin replacing Bo Ryan, and that can kind of be the blueprint for you, right? Like, okay, maybe it means that you're going to have 4 years of a guy that you didn't necessarily want, but if he's winning games and if he's had success and he's able to do what he's done this year and repeat it, then why not? And I think the big thing is, like, he's proven himself at this point, right? Like, what more could you ask him to do this season to be able to go out and get the job? And if you're going to make an interview, like, I don't know, man. It feels like that is the wrong thing to do. And I understand that their athletic director wants to have a national search. And I understand that he's saying, like, look, we are Wichita State. We were in the Final Four, 6 years ago. You know, we have Fred VanVleet and Ron Baker as alums. Like, we're a national brand. We should be going out and finding someone. Well, you know what? Wisconsin's a national brand, too. And you know what they did? They hired the interim guy. UConn is a national brand. You know what they did? They hired Kevin Ollie. And while that didn't end well, he did lead them to a national title. So I think that it's something where the right thing to do is to hire Isaac Brown. Is that what's going to end up happening?
You've done is create just a further divide between Jason and me. But I.
It was the right answer, Rob. It was absolutely the right answer.
Can we? I appreciate your Greg Gard analogy, but can we please mention that Greg Gard went to the Sweet 16 as the interim? I mean, that matters.
Yeah, it does. But
if Isaac Brown doesn't
contest,
make the NCAA tournament,
Greg Gard also turned it. Like, I don't know how much people remember this, but like Wisconsin was bad that year. Like they had just struggled with like Texas A&M Corpus Christi at home, and Bo Ryan was like, yeah, you know what, I'm see you later, I'm retiring, I'm out of here, and Greg Gard came in and like turned that season around, and Like, it was really impressive what he did. And I don't think that Isaac Brown's coaching job has been quite on that level. But if he gets a program that lost, like, what, 37 players to transfer this offseason? I don't know how many it was, but it was a lot of them.
No, you're right. They had a basic
start. Getting them to the tournament, it's at least comparable. And in a year like this, I don't know. I think that you reward them. I think that you give them.
I'm saying is that, my only thing is, like, if you could get Mark Turgeon, which they believe they could get, would you not rather have Mark Turgeon?
You're asking the wrong guy that question.
Mark Turgeon guy?
Let me ask you a question. Go. Tell me right now off the top of your head. When was the last time Mark Turgeon made it to the second round of the NCAA tournament? Do you know?
I would guess it's probably been 5 years.
5 years since he made it to this. I just want to make sure that I'm right about this. He made it in 2016, right?
That's right.
The time that he made it before that was 2006 with Wichita State. Since he went to the Sweet 16 with Wichita State in 2006, he's been out of the first weekend of the NCAA tournament once.
That's the guy
you want to hire? That's the guy you're going after?
Well, I mean, Isaac Brown's never made a Sweet 16.
He's getting run out of Maryland because the Maryland fans don't think he's good enough.
Right.
You have hurt John's feelings today. Rob, you have hurt John today.
Hey, look, you know what? Sometimes you just you got to put someone in their place, right?
that's what's happening. What does this do to Houston? We'll get off Isaac Brown. I'm with you, Rob. He deserves the job. John can't stand it. What does it do for Houston, though, this L? Like, they've now lost to East Carolina and Wichita State without Caleb Mills. I realize they've still got some great guards, but John's made the point clearly that has hurt their depth. Houston can't still be a two seed, can they? And do we still think they're the team that's capable of a deep run?
Oh, man. I still do think that they are capable of winning games in the NCAA tournament. This definitely does hurt their case for a two seed, but I'd make the argument that this loss isn't what hurts their case. It's losing to East Carolina.
Losing at Tulsa.
To me, those are the issues where you're kind of seeing, like, you're really hurting your profile. Like, losing to Wichita State is a quad one loss now. On the road, that's true.
It was basically
a one-possession game before that turnover and that flagrant two. So I don't think this is the loss that hurts them, but this loss hurts them because they were already playing a little bit from behind because they lost. Who loses at East Carolina? You don't go into East Carolina and lose. Nobody does that.
That's the loss that hurts. It feels like Wichita State still needs those SMU games, right? It feels like Memphis needs Houston, preferably both of them. You've already had one postponed, but preferably both of them. And you'd like to have they had the at Wichita State game postponed. That at this point would be a quad one opportunity for them. We know Memphis needs work. Like, it feels like Wichita State still got work to do. I just wonder, Rob, how in the world they had four of them postponed. The two you want back are the Houston game and the Wichita State game. But, man, I don't know that there's enough time to get those in. You're only talking about 2 weeks before you're sitting there the week of the conference tournament. I just don't see how you get them. So, if you're looking at that scenario, do you just focus on getting the Houston one rescheduled and Wichita State? No. I mean, with Memphis coming off of a pause, they've got Tulane next Wednesday. Is the best case scenario, hey, just play that game. Maybe it's a good ramp-up game, and we hope to have the Houston one rescheduled? Because, Rob, I don't know that they've got the time anymore to get any of these rescheduled.
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. You know, we're kind of running into the deadline here, right? Like, the tournament's coming. We're not pushing March back. So, honestly, I think the best-case scenario is getting Tulane in that first game back because we all know how hard it is to come off those pauses, right? Like, I don't know specifically how locked down Memphis is. Different teams have different rules when it comes to, like, the quarantining. Some programs will be able to, get guys in the gym if they're isolated, if they haven't had close contacts, and other ones, like, everyone just kind of has to sit in their dorm room or their apartment or their house or wherever it is that they are and do, like, video workouts that get sent by strength and conditioning coordinators. So it kind of depends on specifically what is going on with Memphis with those protocols. You guys would probably know better than me than what they're going through. But that said, getting a warm-up game against the worst team in the conference is not a bad thing. You know, like, it's not a bad way to tune it up. It's just that afterwards, you know, you got – maybe you could squeeze something in on that Friday, right? Like, maybe you can find a way to play bump back to South Florida game. You can get another one in there.
Yeah, because just, Cal's doing that, right, or at least trying to.
Who's doing the job?
Kentucky, right? Kentucky's trying – didn't they say they're trying to do something along those lines?
Yeah, I mean – There's so many games that are left to get scheduled. There's no way that we can get them all in. So how do you prioritize that if you're these conferences? How do you value the health and the well-being of the players? Like Nebraska, I don't know if you saw Nebraska's recent schedule, but they played 7 games in 12 days in 5 different states, including a back-to-back at Maryland, 2 straight games at Maryland. And like that's too much, man. That's too much on these kids. That's too much in this situation. Like pros don't even have to go through that at the NBA level. It's just it's too much, and I understand that you got to get the games in, but it's also, you know, you have to understand and value that these kids are kind of going through it right now. So, I mean, I don't know. I know you want to get them in. You know what you need? You need like South Florida to come up with a positive case or something like that, or have to go into a pause so you can sneak something into a game that week and not feel bad about. That's
into that hole.
I mean, sadly, like it's a weird, twisted way, but like. That's how a lot of these games have been rescheduled is by you just sort of take the teams that aren't on pause and you have them play each other. I would ask you this on Memphis, though, because, you know, it's impossible to know without the rest of the schedule and when they're coming back to know sort of what they need or have to do. You know, there was a time, and maybe it's still the case, right, but there's a time where we sort of looked at Houston as like this savior, like in terms of if you can beat them, then that's your golden ticket to the chocolate factory. Is that still the case?
Yeah, I think so. Like, I don't know if that's – I don't know if just one win is going to be enough to get them in.
Things, by the way. If one win is not enough, that would change a lot.
Yes. You have to – you can't do it without getting that win, right? I don't know if that win alone is going to be what puts you on the right side of the ball. Like, it's the same thing as Wichita State, right? Like, Wichita State and Memphis don't have that different of a profile. I think that Wichita State is a little bit better in terms of some of the wins that they've gotten. But it's not significantly different enough where we can sit here and say, like, if Memphis does what Wichita State did and they beat Houston at home, you know, we're still saying, yeah, you know, Wichita State's good. They're closer now, but they still got work to do. And I think that would be the case if Memphis found a way to knock off Houston, you know, assuming that this pause doesn't affect them and they don't drop something else dumb in the games between them.
We're, of course, talking to Rob Doster, founder of the Field of 68. Antonio Anderson has a podcast, Beale Street Bullies, I believe a new one posted this week with Danielle Lerner from the Daily Memphian. Always go check that out. Got some interesting and maybe a little bit of unexpected news as it relates to the NCAA tournament that some venues are going to allow for 25% capacity. What did you think about that? What did you think about that that development there, Rob, and was it expected?
I figured that eventually we were going to have fans there just because that's what the NCAA wanted to have happen. I think, from my understanding, that 25% includes, like, media, and it includes family members, and it includes like support staff and all that.
Yep.
So I think it's going to be fewer fans than people realize. And I kind of hope that they limit it to like, okay, let's get the people that are important to the players into this building before we worry about like just the random folks that happen to really love like one team. You know what I'm saying? Like, let's make sure that we can get like, you know, the Baylor players' families that haven't been able to see them play all season long because of travel restrictions and haven't been able to spend time with them. Like, let's make sure that they're in the gym first. Let's prioritize them and then worry about everybody else. So I'm hoping that that's what it's going to end up being. And it kind of, like, if you read through their statements, it kind of seems like that's what they're hinting at. So, but I'll tell you this much, man. Like, it kind of means, like, we are trending a little bit back in the right direction, right? Like, I don't think that they would do this and – you know, we're starting to get vaccines rolling out and we're getting like a significant percentage of the population is starting to get it. Like my wife just got her first shot. So hopefully we can get to the point where we're back to normal by like next summer. I'm hoping, man. I've been cooped up in my house.
You mean like
too long.
Summer 2021, right? Just to be clear.
Yes. Yeah. By the end of the summer, okay. Man, let's back to normal. Now, if it's the summer of 22, you know what? I mean, I don't even know.
That's a long time, boss. That's a long time.
That's a long time. Hey, Jason, you don't even have a kid driving you crazy yet, so.
No, John. No, he doesn't.
John. Yeah, John. Sorry, John. You don't even have a kid driving you crazy.
I got my little one. Hey, let me ask, real quick, Rob, before we can get you out of here. Did you look at Jalen Johnson in that situation as I'm putting the quitter label on that? I don't care about the, you know, what's going on. He quit on Duke. It's done for me. What did you think of that Jalen Johnson situation?
So I understand both sides of it. I would prefer to phrase it as like he's done playing college basketball instead of like he's quitting, because I do think that there was a little bit of a mutual decision there. You know, at some point, like if you become a distraction, it's almost better for the team to not have you there, even if you're the most talented guy. And it did kind of feel a little bit like there were some personalities that were celebrating too much the fact that this kid is leaving and then the chance to be able to bash a 19-year-old. But I also think it's important to say that, like, Jalen Johnson kind of did bring this on himself, because this is not the first time that he's left the team in the middle of the season. He transferred out of IMG to a different high school at, like, semester break. He went to three high schools in his last 3 years before getting to college. So it's like he kind of has a reputation for doing this. And so I understand why people are going to lean that way, and I do think that Jalen and his people need to understand that, like, this is what happens when you don't stick to a commitment. But, like, at the same time, you know, let's just chill on calling a kid a quitter. Like, in the situation, like, so think about it like this, right? He had COVID. He didn't get to school until August 20th, I believe. This is from Goodman's reporting. Mm-hmm. And they didn't have a regular preseason. They didn't have a chance to spend all that time with their teammates. They've basically been like living in isolation, living in hotel rooms, and they haven't had anything close to a normal college experience.
Right.
If he doesn't know the guys around him, if he doesn't enjoy the time that he's having there, and this is all kind of wearing on him, like anybody can understand that. You know, the whole point of college basketball and college in general is to, like, have a completely new experience. If your experience is, like, isolation and not getting a chance to know and enjoy and be able to, like, celebrate with the people that you are spending all that time with, like, it probably is not really all that enjoyable for the people involved. So, like, look, the kid's in a bad spot. He left the program. It doesn't necessarily look good for him. He's going to have to answer to NBA teams and NBA programs and NBA organizations about it. But, like, if we just chill and, like, blasting the kid and call him a quitter and labeling with it. It's the same thing with, like, James Wiseman went through it too. You know, let's just kind of – let's ease off on that a little bit. I don't like the way that the rhetoric turned. And I think there are there are reasons that it went that way that we probably don't have to get into on the radio.
Yep.
I'm with you, man.
Rob, man. Thank you, Rob. The absolute best. Congratulations to you and Isaac Brown, man. We appreciate the time as always.
Be safe, guys. Be safe.
Thanks, Rob.
Yep. He is Rob Doster, founder of the Field of 68.
That must have cut you to the core, I'm assuming. Did that cut you as deeply as I'm feeling like it must have?
Yeah, I guess he doesn't understand. Like, I'm the white guy on the show. Yeah.
He doesn't understand.
And so, like, you know, white guys are supposed to agree with each other. So that I guess I'm going to have to send that memo again.
Hey, let me try another one, man, because my Silverfield one didn't bring you over. Let me try one more. Do you remember that, and Brad, I want you to listen closely. Maybe you can add a little bit. Do you remember probably about 5 years ago, there was a riser in the game, in the radio game, who was ready? He was absolutely ready. He had paid all of his dues, and he was ready, John, to have a show. You get where I'm getting? There was a hole opened up, and the man was ready. And yet this organization, this franchise, probably could have done a national search. You know what? Pretty good job. A lot of folks might want. But you know what? They knew. They knew that they had the man who had already earned it, right? Didn't he? Already earned it right there in the building. And they decided, John Martin, your day is today. You will be rewarded for all of this hard work. Your time is now. You, sir, are Isaac Brown. And my goodness, how quickly have you forgotten about it?
Well, I remember it a little differently than you remember it, Jason.
Is this a false equivalency like Jeff Collins?
Well, I mean, I think 92.9 was, you know, I think they were responsible, but I don't think they'd do like a national search to your point, but I think there were auditions, right? Like guys filled in and Brad got a sense of, you know, how they sounded. And it wasn't like a, I don't think it was a very formal thing, but
they knew.
92.9, they did their due diligence. Would you agree with that, Brad, that you guys did your due diligence?
Yeah, I would think we always do our due diligence. I don't think
Wichita State going to do it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think we will be as thorough as Wichita State, yes.
Yeah, so and if that is the case, then there will be interviews. There will be some interviews for other coaches. But, no, I mean, look, you know.
That one didn't win you over either, huh? That one didn't bring you to mind. Did he not do his due diligence, too, in the sense that,
He
didn't just give it to him, right? He did.
Right.
He did some homework, asked around, probably had a little bit of a list, I would assume, to go with what he knew he had at Silverfield. Then you did it.
Let me ask you this.
That's what it's going to be with Wichita State, it feels like.
You brought up Silverfield. Let me ask you this. Bigger risk, hiring this cat at Wichita State from internal or when we hired, now forget recency bias here, or when we hired Silverfield before he lost to Penn State?
Go ahead, John. Well, the question is bigger risk?
Yes.
John will say it's Isaac Brown, though.
Well, no, I actually will say I would say it was Ryan Silverfield.
Yeah.
I would say it was Ryan Silverfield because you at least, with Isaac, have seen him for 17 games on the job.
Mm-hmm.
I think they're both in the same stratosphere, right, in terms of, like, I think they were both in some ways risky or would-be risky hires.
Yeah.
But I would give you Silverfield was more risky than Isaac Brown because you at least see, mm-hmm. you know, what the Isaac Brown, you know, system over the course of a basketball season would look like. Whereas with Silverfield, it was theoretical. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I think that's true. I agree with you, by the way.
That's fair, and it's not just Isaac Brown's done okay. He's literally taken a team that's finished seventh. He's got him in first place right now in the AAC.
That's right.
So knocked it out of the park in that sample size that you were able to get.
Yeah.
Which is even more reason, right? You do your due diligence and you say, you know what, the right thing here is to give it to the guy who's earned it at this point.
Yeah.
You know, amazed us all, I think. So anyway, I'm trying to convince you, John. Sounds like I've got you coming a little bit closer on. Use some examples that are a little bit close to home and, you know, a couple that are close to home and maybe some others. We'll get you, man.
I was surprised on that
Isaac Brown bandwagon.
I can listen to the Turgeon thing, but I was surprised how down on Turgeon Doster was. That was quite eye-opening.
Yeah. Well, you know, what I learned about those guys at Field of 68 is that they just have agendas.
Get the hell out of here, boy.
Yeah,
no.
He's the one with the least.
Come
agendas.
On, John. No.
Goodman hates Stackhouse.
Well, let's face it. At this point, Stackhouse having a hard go.
I mean, and he said, like, I don't know if you – did you read that article that Joe Rexroad wrote, Jason?
No, about Stackhouse?
Yeah.
I did not.
Oh, you conveniently just didn't read that one, huh?
It's not going well for Jerry. What did he say? He needs to be fired? I mean,
he basically.
I don't think you got to dig deep on this one to get to kind of have the pulse of what's going on in Bama.
No, he skipped it.
It
was basically like a deep dive into the Stackhouse era. It wasn't like he should be fired. It was just like, you know, here's Jerry Stackhouse's coaching tenure according to Jerry Stackhouse. And he basically he brought up Trump, like, randomly.
Oh, boy.
Like Stackhouse did. Like, he said 75 million people voted for Trump, so that should tell you everything you need to know, kind of a thing. I don't know. It was a reach. It was a reach for old Jerry there.
Dang.
Hey man, you lay off my black coaches, all right? Now I'm starting to feel like you're stepping on some toes today. I was going to give you the benefit of the doubt at first, but now you all over Stackhouse too. What, you want Penny out next?
Stackhouse is big.
Brown ain't good enough. Stackhouse talking about Trump, sounds like he's crazy, sounds like Brittany, like he's lost his mind. Sound like you're trying to say he should be out of there, too. Now you want Penny next?
Here's
which black coach is next, John?
I actually hope they hire him because I think it would be good for the AAC. But I tell you, I'm interested to see if they were to hire him, if he'd have more success than Penny Hardaway, because that would be profound and difficult.
No, that would be horrible. That would be horrible.
That would be bad for Memphis and bad for Penny Hardaway. Now, it's well within the cards, by the way. This guy could come in because he's been recruiting, right, John?
Yeah, no. well, yes, as an assistant, he's definitely been on the road and been a part of that. But, Jason, I would just tell you this, and don't worry about sort of how I feel about black coaches. I love Bruce Arians.
Yeah,
this
that's a good
man.
One.
What are you saying, John? What are you saying, John?
I see what Mark Turgeon's greatest qualification for the Wichita State job is. He's white.
That's something there.
No, it has really nothing to do with that, honestly. It has absolutely nothing to do with that. I just would
Let's
do
hope not, John.
Maybe.
I will say this, though, to the point.
Didn't we just do a seminar on natural bias? Like, you know what I'm saying? Like,
yes.
That stuff that you can't even control.
To this,
I got my diploma from that.
Gentlemen, to this point in the conversation,
you failed, bro.
This is another reason why they should hire him, because it's like every time we give the white man 40 chances to get the second go around at Wichita
State. That's what I'm trying to tell John. John would rather take the retread white
dear
dude.
Dear Lord.
No, that's nothing to do with white. Let's just frame it.
Let's
like
retread
John,
Mark Turgeon again.
Who's made two second weekend appearances in like the last 16 years. John said, let's give it to him again at Wichita State.
Bring the white kid back.
$4 million because he's white. Yeah.
No, the reason why all the retreads are white is because black coaches don't get hired.
I didn't catch the first part. The reason because black coaches don't get hired. What was the first part of that statement?
The reason why all the retreads are white is because black coaches don't get hired.
Well, very true. But let's stop the cycle, John, and we can ease up a little bit on the retread, right? And let some fresh blood that's worked for 19 years in Division I and has taken a 17-game schedule and turned